Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in beautiful Miami, Florida at Sunshine PHP 2016, and my special guest's name is Phil Jackson, and for the longest time I called you Phil Winkle, and honest to God, thought that was your name.
You wouldn't be the first. it's unfortunate. You choose these sort of like names and avatars. For me, I chose it when I was in my junior year of high school, and it was like you have an AOL account or a name handle, and you choose these things based on maybe, I don't know, for me it was a lot of my friends called me Phil Winkle because of Bullwinkle, you know, kind of a thing, and it just sort of stuck, and you know, now 20 years later I'm still bearing it out. I don't know why I'm the one that continues to perpetuate it, but for whatever reason. Anyway, yes, everyone thinks I'm Phil Winkle. Phil Jackson, it's not a bad name to have.
No,
winning as coach in the NBA.
It's respectable.
Yeah, so. It's a good name.
Yeah, that is, and I know what you mean, because before I started becoming known in the community, all of my email addresses, other than my main one, which is at Cal Evans, all of my other ones and all of my Twitter handles and all my forums and everything were my gamer tag, Oxnard Montalvo. And, you know, at some point you hit a point in your professional career where this stuff becomes important and you're like, not the best life choice.
No. You know? Not at all. Not at all.
Hey, Phil, you have a podcast that is wildly more popular than this one, Mage Talk.
Yeah, and you're too gracious.
No, I've seen your numbers, dude. Now, you talk about Magento, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but tell me how you got into podcasting.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So I have to kind of rewind, you know, back to that same era that I just come out of high school, and I was playing a lot of music. I'm a musician, and I got a gig, but I had a friend of mine who used to tech overnights at a famous studio in Tampa, he used to work with all these big bands back in the day. You know, he'd have like Trent Reznor come in or Marilyn Manson. It was like this famous studio that did all these hard rock bands. Mm-hmm. And so whenever he had like an overnight session, he'd ask me to come in and help tech with him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I never got paid for it, but it was like an internship. And so I kind of became fascinated with recording back in 1997, 98. Mm-hmm. And really, music and recording has always kind of been a passion of mine. And then, when I sort of was done traveling and doing the band thing, I was like, well, what do sort of semi-retired band guys do? They produce other bands. And I had amassed a bunch of gear, and I had some really nice outboard gear, a few Neve sort of console pieces and things that I'd kind of put together over the years. And anyway, being a fan of podcasts in general and listening to other people sort of elucidate or pontificate, in my case, have the general sharing of knowledge. I talk a lot about, you know, the Malcolm Gladwell thing, a maven.
Yep.
So the archetype of a maven is somebody who just can't help but share, someone who can't help but, disseminate knowledge. And
now that's from his Tipping Point.
That's correct.
Yeah, we'll throw a link in the show notes to that great book. Yeah. And by the way, I prefer the term waxing poetic.
Waxing poetic. There you go. And I can't help but do that. It's one of my traits that it's something that just comes natural to me. So I finally found a topic that people wanted to listen to me talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mage Talk has been going for about a year and a half now.
Oh, very
and,
cool.
And we are pretty successful. But you know, we sort of kind of keep it easy for us to record. We do very little on location recording. It's myself and my co-host, Kaylin Jordan. He's in LA. I'm in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually conducted remotely. But it's a once a week podcast, and we tend to have a lot of really positive feedback.
Now, do y'all use Google Hangouts? You use Skype? What do you use to actually
record? So we started
on
Hangouts, and the quality just for me was not worth it. Plus, we didn't really want to do a video Hangout because we really didn't. We weren't eliciting a live audience. What we wanted was I wanted highly produced audio podcasts, something that could be listened to sort of passively, during your commute or something like that. We were not really looking for audience engagement. So we use Skype, but we only use Skype really for us to hear each other. We do what's called in radio a double ender.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the old days of the ISDN lines, and some radio stations still have them, you would record the audio on your side. So you have an isolated track, and then I record the audio on my side the same way. And then one of the two sends their ISO track, over the ISDN. So we do the same thing, but we just use Dropbox and Skype.
Yep.
But that's sort of how we do it. I think it's pretty low tech, but I think the audio sounds great. And nowadays I don't want to edit it all myself anymore. So I've got my buddy Chris, who's a great producer, does a lot of audio for bands that were sort of famous in the early 2000s. So people may know them, Copeland, Anne Berlin, that sort of thing.
Oh, cool.
So he's kind of, he's always looking to pick up. Actually, can I give him a shout out?
Absolutely.
So he actually is trying to do more podcast audio production, outsourced audio production. His name is Chris Harry, and his Twitter handle is The Pod Sherpa. So he's like creating this podcast Sherpa sort of a thing.
From a marketing standpoint, that's a good brand.
I think it is.
Yeah. We'll throw a link in the show notes to him.
Yeah,
so if anybody's interested, because I know one of the reasons I asked you that was somebody emailed me the other day and said, do you have a blog post on your setup? Now, my setup is unusual. I walk in and I've got a Pelican case full of crap, that I just clunk down. But it looks impressive when you have a case that big. The TSA is not real happy with me, They love to give me the full body cavity search when I walk through the airport with this. But, I walk in and I've got this. But honestly, I've done podcasts with my iPhone.
Yeah.
If you really want to get fancy, I've got the Zoom 5 here.
Yeah.
But Zoom makes the record head that I've got on this thing for the iPhone.
Yeah.
And the lightning cord. You plug that in the back. Yep. You've got a decent recorder right there. And for, I think Amazon's got them for $50.
It doesn't take a whole lot to get started in podcasting. And I think it's like everything. At some point, you reach sort of the law of diminishing returns. I think you can spend a lot more money and get a very marginal, improvement.
Mm-hmm.
If someone out there is listening, I think one of the things that really probably makes your job a lot easier with the editing and post-production is you're using dynamic microphones, which, that's a little inside baseball, but, they have really good rejection of outside noise. They tend to have really even non-exaggerated sounds for the audio. So I think that helps. And, for us, we're using Zoom H2s.
I used an H2 for 6 years and loved it.
And I like it because it's really versatile. Also, it has the screw in the bottom, so I kind of screw a little handle to it, and I kind of walk around like you do. And I like sort of just shove the mic in people's faces at like conferences or Magento conferences and just kind of get that man on the street sort of a thing.
Those are great microphones.
I like them. And for the price, they're...
Well, when I bought it was $250, $260. These days you can pick them up for $100 bucks,
$125. I think I got mine $129 on Amazon.
Yeah, and I only got this one because I got the 5 because I had the 2 and we picked up a sponsor and I looked at Kathy and says, I'm going to upgrade.
Yeah.
And I took my 2, and I was very proud of myself. And there's a young man who does a PHP roundtable named Sammy Powers, one of our core developers in PHP.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, he's a new podcaster. I would be magnanimous. I'd say, I've been using this for a while. Do you need a microphone? No, I got a Zoom 6. Don't worry, dude.
He's got it all figured out.
And his podcast is a phenomenal podcast.
That's really awesome. Yeah.
So. Well, it is fun. I got into this just because I was traveling anyhow, and I said, it might be fun. And this is my 4th podcast now, and I kind of like the format of this one. You mentioned you wanted something easy that people can listen to on their commute, and we always shoot for 15 minutes or less. I want consumable within your commute for most people, and we have a loyal following. Hi, Mom. But, it's fun to do. And Kathy does all the post-production for
me. That's awesome.
And by post-production, it's Audacity and Levelator, I think. That's about it. So
yeah, we're a little more sophisticated these days, but I can't help but get into the audio, into the music portion.
Oh, yeah.
So we've it's all custom music on the show on Mage Talk, and mm-hmm. And so all the sponsor bumps, all the pre-roll, all that, it's all custom music that we create and we refresh every so
very
often.
Very cool.
So, it helps too that it's a creative outlet for me because I need that still to some degree. I wish my wife were involved. I wish I could get her to do some of the editing. That'd be helpful.
Kathy is wonderful. Our intro and outro music, and I don't think anybody knows this. Sony has a package for Windows called Acid. And you can manipulate sound. And
loops and
I had found this piece of PD music, but it was very slow. And I was just messing around seeing what Acid would do. And I sped it up to like 32 times. And all of a sudden, it's a hopping little beat.
That's
and
awesome.
So I said, that's it. That's what I'm going to take. You
that's
know.
Awesome.
So it was fun. Well, you know, I love talking about podcasting. In fact, I've got a whole podcast episode where I got a bunch of podcasters together and we just talk podcasting. But let's move on a little bit. You are in the Magento community. You're a high-profile figure. I don't know much about the Magento community. I know what Magento is, and I'm very familiar with that. I was familiar with Varian back before they were doing Magento.
Sure. Right.
And in fact, when I was at Zen the first time, Varian was just a design company, and they designed the very first DevZone skin that we had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then
that's
they went
a good
on.
Bit of trivia. I didn't know that.
And very few people do. Very few people are willing to be associated with that early version of DevZone. So. But, you know, they went on to create Magento, and PayPal bought them, and now the Magento 2, and things are exploding over there. Tell me about the community.
Yeah. Well, geez, where to begin? I think the success of Magento, like many, you know, many products in the open source space, the success is the community. I think it came at the perfect time where you had maybe some people in the PHP space were sort of languishing in the e-commerce realm. I think there was a definite need. People were kind of hungry for something that was a step up from what was available. You got to think back to that era.
Oh, yeah.
2007 and 8. You really only had, you know, OS Commerce was the big player, which is not saying a whole lot.
No.
And Xcart, I think, or Zencart.
Zencart, yeah.
Right. So it was a it was the perfect timing. So the community really, I think, formed naturally around the fact that everybody sort of flocked to this thing that was solving a lot of people's problems. And I really feel like, if you look at the feature set of modern e-commerce today, now, gosh, 9 years later, I think, you know, most of Magento's competitors today can't match the feature set that Magento had in 2008. And so a community really formed around the fact that people were sort of fanatical about this tool, which did way more than anybody ever expected a platform to be able to do. I also think that, and it's sort of a happy accident, something you would probably not ever, something you wouldn't really want to brag about too much. Magento 1 sort of famously shipped with no documentation and then sort of sat there for 7.5, 8 years with no documentation. The core was the documentation. And so out of necessity, a community formed in the developer space just for people to understand and grok how it even worked.
Yeah.
So that started on IRC, and it started in the Zend IRC channels, and then started to leak out a little bit. The Magento forums became a huge place for community to form. And then, you know, when Magento started having branded events and people started getting together, and by the way, the Magento community, especially pockets over in overseas, people in the Netherlands, people in Germany. They really started becoming very fanatical about it because those are countries that I think already are pretty fanatical about open source in general.
Yes,
They're heavy adopters of open source, and they were contributing back to the project. They started their own user groups. They started their own user. They were doing massive conferences for Magento before Magento was doing conferences for Magento.
Interesting.
So,
did not know that.
Yeah. So it's the community sort of just rallied around what I think they saw as a. You know, like that scrappy sort of the upstart. And I think over the years, a lot of really good things have been said about Magento. A lot of bad things have been said about Magento. I do think Magento has come of age. I think we're well into a place of maturity with the new platform. It's a lot like the Drupal 8 story.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the future. I think the community as a whole, we continue to grow. And especially with some leadership from people like Ben Marks.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the Magento community evangelist, who, you know, is employed directly by Magento. and Sherry Rohde, who's a community manager at Magento.
I know who she is. I follow her on Twitter, but I've never had the privilege of meeting her.
She's phenomenal. She was at PHP World back in November.
How did I miss her? Okay.
Yeah, she was there with a few other speakers, a bunch of people that spoke for on Magento topics. So it's really nice to see, you know, people have hung on for a long time through thick and thin. And, man, you can't buy a community like that. That's a blessing. It's hard to manufacture. You can't manufacture it.
Well, I was talking to Ben earlier because he and I were in Belgium last week together at PHP Benelux, one of my favorite conferences. And we were over there. Matter of fact, we're sitting there eating. I didn't know he was going to be there. And we're standing around eating because there's no sitting. We're standing around eating at these little tables. And I look over. I'm like, damn, that guy looks like Ben Marks, you know. And then I lost track of him, and I was then standing talking to Michelangelo and Samantha and several others. And all of a sudden, he walks up, just, hey, you know. I'm like, oh my God, you're everywhere, you know. But we were talking, and he says, you know, the Magento community is a lot like the PHP community. Whenever we get together, it's a hug fest, you know. Yeah. There's so much camaraderie, you know. A lot there's. The hardcore core, you know, and we all, you know, when I see Michelangelo and I'm pointing at him as I hug him and all this. But, you know, we do that with people we don't know.
Yes.
You know, we're very friendly till we don't. I usually don't hug people I don't know, but, you know, because that makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah, sure.
But we, you know, we try to welcome everybody into it. And Ben says the Magento community is just like that.
Well, it's extremely welcoming. I think that's my own personal story is being welcomed in when I, you know, I felt like I had a lot to offer, but I didn't really know anybody. Mm-hmm. And back in 2012 or so, I sort of kind of engaged a little more than I ever had. And they were, you know, everybody really just welcomed me with open arms. They were very we have a very warm community in the Magento space. And I would say we don't really have much drama at all.
That's good.
And that's... I'm very thankful. I kind of say that, touch wood. there's not really any drama. And I think that's because most of us have to see each other a lot.
Yeah.
And we hash things out. And I think we've been good about that. But I think as things continue to grow, I think we'll have bigger challenges to face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll be insulated from that forever. But all in all, I mean, there are very, very few people that I've ever met that that weren't just... absolutely warm and inviting.
Well, and you're laying the groundwork now so that you have, if you do have problems, there are fewer problems down the road. You've built that warm and welcoming community, and that's so important. I talk about that in several of my keynotes about the PHP community. It's one of the hallmarks of the PHP community, and I'm so glad that the Magento community is like that.
Yeah.
Because we do have communities in the PHP community that have kind of siloed and become their own thing.
Of course.
And I feel that that's a failure of the PHP community because I feel like we ignored these communities and they said, okay, fine, we're just going to go off and do our own thing.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that as the Magento community is growing and coming into its own, that we're not like that.
Right.
I want us to be warm and welcoming because y'all are learning things that we need to learn. You're learning technical lessons that you can share with us.
Right.
So, hey, enough community love because I can go on like this for days. You are a musician.
I am.
Now, I get static playing the radio, but I come from a musical family. Both my kids play two instruments. Kathy plays two instruments. My family has musical roots way back, but it skipped me totally. tell me what instruments do you play? You know, tell me about your passion in music.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I traveled together as musicians for a long, long time. She plays guitar, but she's really the vocalist. I was the front man for a band for years, and sort of like a Christian rock sort of a group. And we traveled around for almost 7 years. I play guitar, I play piano. I'm really terrible at the drums, but a few years ago I kind of made a decision. I want to be a multi-instrumentalist, but so I sort of kind of life hacked it a little bit. And it's like every year I'd pick a new instrument and I'd learn
cool.
it for the year. So. You know, recently I've picked up harmonica and mandolin and some other things.
Wow.
Just trying to broaden out a little bit, and I still try to stay involved. I play at my church and things like that, but never. You know, I'm really glad I went out and did. I got that life experience. When I did, I hit the road early on, and really that's. it's amazing. I keep seeing this over and over, how often people in the arts, and specifically musicians, are drawn to things like, you know, development and and engineering, because they have so much. There's so much common. There's an artistry to what we do as developers, and so there's a lot of commonality. And yeah, I see it a lot, and it makes great office parties. Like, well, yeah, everybody kind of little jam sesh, pick up, you know, a guitar or something. But
that's very cool.
Yeah, and we still kind of, you know, my wife and I, we still write music. We have a piano in the house, and we try to exercise that a little bit. But I would say I wouldn't be a developer if I hadn't been a musician first. It was
interesting.
It was being on the road, being stuck in. With a broken down wheel in in Boise, Idaho, trying to get from Boston to Seattle, and having no money, and a broken trailer, and it's like, well, I guess I better pick up some PHP side work, you know. it was they were always symbiotic, the two, and it was the freelancing that allowed me to pursue the one passion, and now it's still allowing me to pursue my other passions. So
that is very cool.
Yeah.
I really wish I had musical talent. I've tried. At one point I tried to pick up the trumpet, and I practiced for probably 2 or 3 months before the family had an intervention. And, you know,
this is not your gifting.
No,
it's I not. Love that.
So, yeah. But I appreciate you sharing. Hey, before we let you go, what's your local user group and what's the URL?
We are Magento South Florida developer group, but we seem to have more merchants and e-commerce aspirational people these days, and it's at Meetup, so meetup.com, and if you search for Magento South Florida, we're the only Magento South Florida user group, and I'd like to change that because we're up in Palm Beach, and there's a lot of people like Adrian Cardenas. He travels up from Dade County, and that's a long drive.
Oh, that is, yeah.
And so I'd like to see some other user groups form down in South Florida, but that's where you can reach. You can also hit me up on Twitter, obviously, Phil Winkle, and I'm always tweeting about the user group there.
Yep.
And we have a pretty good turnout. It's a great time.
Cool.
We're usually sponsored by my company, Something Digital. Mm-hmm. They usually bring in, you know, the beer and the pizza and that sort of thing, but it's always a good time. Great talks, but we really try to focus on the networking.
Mm-hmm.
I find it really hard to get developers to talk to each other when they're all listening to someone else talk.
This is true. Yeah.
And so really we try to put a lot of time and focus into encouraging people to network, or, you know, just get to know each other.
Well, I have found if you have someone up speaking and they say something wrong, developers start talking to each other immediately. It's not the way to do it. Don't use globals.
That's
no,
awesome.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, I want to thank you, Phil, for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. It's been a wonderful time. And thank you for everything that you're doing in the Magento community, because I know that the Magento community is becoming more and more important to the PHP community. So thank you for that.
And likewise, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and really humbled, actually, to have been invited on here. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.